and thank you for calling.
Radio.
Hey, thank you for joining me in the treasure room. Trying to get all my little eggs in order here. Want to thank you. This segment tonight is going to be on COVID-19 birthing black business. We have the wonderful, the beautiful Miss Nia Terry, who will be joining us and telling us all about her wonderful enterprise, NDT. What else did I want to tell you about Miss Nye first? Let's introduce Miss Nye. She is a wonderful virtuoso ability having so-and-so. She is not only a movie producer, she's a writer. Nye Terry's virtuoso abilities began at the age of 8, writing her first unpublished book and hand sewing by the age of 12. And she received creative recognition at the age of 14. Oh, I lost Miss Nye, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on, let me get her back. Okay, I've got her. There she is, yes. Took me a little minute there. That storm kind of threw me way out of commission. Okay, now back to the show, back to introducing her. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Nye Terry's virtuoso abilities began at age 8, writing her first unpublished book and hand sewing it. By the age of 12, she received creative recognition. At 14, she was awarded her first trophy and appeared in her very first newspaper article, The Michigan Chronicle. Nye Terry, a resident of, Detroit, Michigan. Yay. Miss Nye has won national and international awards in many areas of the entertainment genre and in her professional career. In 1998, as an International Modeling and Talent Awards, IMTA, contestant, as competitors for New England, Milan, yes, and New York, surprising glare, she receives 5 trophies, photographic modeling, fashion design, fashion uniqueness, runway modeling, drama, and of course, comedy. So help me welcome with great pleasure to the Treasure Box, Miss Nye Terry of Entertainment and Women. Hello, Nye.
Hello, everyone.
How are you? Thank you for joining us.
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. Miss Lady, you are doing some wonderful things in the entertainment industry, and I, for one, am totally proud of you as a black woman making strides, you know, especially in the film industry. We definitely need more brown faces on the screen representing brown lives, and along with you and many other writers out there, yeah, we look forward to the stuff you guys are getting ready to put out. So can you tell us a little bit about what sparked your dreams to start your production, entertainment, and other endeavors?
Well, I come from an entertainment family, and everybody in our family was on some level of performing, and I'm kind of following suit with that. My mother was a Broadway dancer. My father played in a band. My uncle sang jazz. And my cousins were tap dancers. So we kind of, it's just part of our family heritage that we would stick to something like this. I mean, it was very, very challenging, but rewarding, because we all would dance together and teach each other different trades.
Sounds good. It sounds like you grew up in a musical and an entertainment family. So it was in your blood from the beginning.
My grandfather was a dancer, yes.
What kind of dance did he do?
Well, he did mostly the scratch dancing in those olden days when you scratch on the sand and the salt, and he would dance in nightclubs.
Yeah. Yeah, I can kind of picture that, kind of scatting a little bit with your feet or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. Very nice. Very nice. So what goals do you have in mind for
Well, my goal right now is moving to the next level of my 3-series book, Hativa, which in English means the hope. Hativa.
How do you pronounce
Hebrew.
That? Oh,
okay. Hativa is okay. Hebrew for the hope. And I decided to write this book because I noticed that our children wasn't getting all the Black history that they needed. So I did a lot of research for practically 18 years. And I also noticed that by me being a Bible student, I started seeing things within historical events that was related to Bible verses and prophecies. So what I did was combine the two together and created an original storyline in between these years, this journey. And, I mean, it's very touching and it's very rewarding just to see our history from Genesis 1:1, the beginning of Black history, from what I researched. And, man, you know, I'm still excited about it because there's so much history and
yes.
there's so much to learn and so much to know. A lot of things we don't even know that I was running across through my research and I had to put into this book. And each time I write something like a historical timeline, I would create a story. I would write songs of the characters, what they felt. I became the people in the story. And there are so many people in this story. My attorney tells me that I'm a character writer, that I can become all these people in these three books, and all and every last one of them are different. Yeah,
and so is
that's
that what
the
you do?
Based on from Genesis 1:1 to in the Revelations, including historical events.
I can't wait to see this. I can't wait because, you know, a lot of our youth now, they're trying to track their roots and, you know, trying to really understand. With so much going on with COVID-19 and everything else, they're really trying to understand the meaning, their purpose, and, you know, really, you know, what's it all about? Like, you know, I know my son, myself, often talks about ancestors, but he puts it in the reference of, well, that was back then, Ma. And so I try to explain to the youth that we are our heritage. We are a continuation of our heritage, of what's in us as Black people. And it's just, you know, tapping into that and tapping into our abilities, like you're doing with, you know, growing up with entertainment in your blood and you're carrying that on. You know, me as a writer, I have writers in my family and I'm trying to carry that on. So it's a beautiful thing to see us, brown people, tapping into our abilities and actually shining. And with a story like this from Genesis, you kind of will take us back, I'm envisioning, taking us back to the beginning, kind of finding out where we come from, the dust, and how it plays into, you know, how we are today as a people, and how we've fallen off, and how we've also, you know, built ourselves up along with this country.
Well, like I said, the book starts with Genesis 1:1, where God created the heavens and the earth. And his original purpose was to create a paradise for man throughout the earth. So from there, even though Adam and Eve, the first people, did not obey, they ate from the tree, and he promised that if you eat, you will die. So from that point on, everything started to crumble for mankind. But he continued to make man. So he made man. Out of one man, he made every nation of man to dwell on the surface of the earth. And I include the Bible verse, Acts 17:26. And then I get more into the storyline on how things started to progress after the Garden of Eden incident. About 426 B.C., Satan, he was the most beautiful angel of all. He grows hostile against humanity. Satan desires worship. Filled with jealousy and hatred brewing within him, he's scheming to destroy the entire world, to lead man into destruction. And we see a lot of that today. So I give you a chronological storyline with Bible prophecies and events of what's going on from there. I even get more into the rebellion broke out in heaven and the devil, the deceiver, also known as Satan, the slanderer. And he accompanied by wicked angels. There were thousands of them that followed him back and forth to earth. And each time they came here, they started to mingle with mankind. They transformed themselves and started having relationships. Started having relations with the women of the earth, man's daughters, and they started to create hybrids. And the hybrids were the Nephilim giants, and they started, you know, spreading through the earth and causing all kind of confusion. So that's when Noah comes in, and the generations continue.
I was gonna say, and then so let the confusion of the world begin right from that point on. And,
Yes, and right during that point on, is man has dominated man to his injury. That's Ecclesiastes 8:9, and that continues to this day, as you can see. You know, so I'll give you a little spin on the African kingdoms, the pharaohs of the land from over almost 4,000 BC, how it how each one of them started to build their kingdoms, and even back then, the demons were influencing the pharaohs of the land. They were transforming themselves to be kings, and all this, you know, all these different acts they were doing until they, you know, until they brought as much confusion into the world as they possibly could. And I go on into Nimrod. Nimrod was a mighty Hebrew. He was the son of Cush, the grandson of Ham, the great-grandson of the righteous man, Hebrew man, Noah. And I talk about the Hebrews because the Hebrews were the blacks, the original black people. And God's chosen language was Hebrew. So I get into how Nimrod went into the land, and he came forth into the land of Assyria, and he built two great cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, the city of debauchery, and Nineveh, the city of bloodshed. So that's in Nahum 3:1-3. So I'm giving the Bible verses, and as I move forward, I get into Moses, I get into King Solomon, then I get into Queen of Sheba, and from there I get into more storylines.
Okay. You know, so you kind of bring us through a timetable. Right.
Right. So I give you a timeline of everything from, just to back it up a little bit, like Ramses dynasty. Ramses was a commoner. You know, he wasn't a rich king like he became to be. And the kingdom was given to him. So when once the kingdom was given to him, he, you know, became more controlled in his whole family through generations. He started the 19th and the 20th dynasty, known as the Ramses dynasties. And from there came his grandson was from there I go into the fall of the dynasties. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. Nope, I hear you. Hello? I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Okay, then I tell you about Samson. Samson was black. He was a Danonite. His mother was a Nubian.
Oh, now see, that's new. I didn't, well, learning growing up, you don't picture any black faces, but I would have never thought Samson.
Because you know what? They took, when they invaded Egypt, and this has been going on for a long time, all the invasions and the wars with the different Hittites and the Moabites and all these different kingdoms, most of them were black, until the Philistines came in there, and they started, they were losing the war. They lost the war many times against the Egyptians. And finally they won. And they started taking over history, and we started having more invasions from the outside world. And they started, because the outside world from Africa, with Queen Nefertari, I believe that's Nefertari.
Queen Nefertari.
Nefertari. And it's Nefertari, it's Nefertari, it's Nefertiti. So there were three of them. All of them sound so much like. But they're all different times. And they were, some of them were in relation, like mother and daughter. So
Nefertari and Nefertiti were mother
so
and daughter?
Get more into that. Well, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. It's so much history.
It's deep.
And a lot of them are 100 years apart, 200 years apart. And their granddaughters and their it was a lot of incest going on too within the families. That's why a lot of the royal families want to keep the riches within the family and keep the bloodline royal. So they
kind of sounds
so they
like
had incest. They created
actions
incest.
Of today.
And a lot of them were deformed. They didn't think they were deformed. They were really deformed, and a lot of them died early. Like King Tut, his two daughters were deformed because he married his half sister from his father's side of the family.
And I think we all know that things like that happen because God didn't create us to procreate with our children or our sisters and brothers. And so,
he begins incest. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So from there, I get into King Solomon. I move on forward to King Solomon and with the Queen of Sheba, Medica. And how she comes to visit him, cross the Red Sea to visit him in Jerusalem. And she has this little girl who's trained to be a maidservant to serve the royal family through the years. And how she goes into the temple one night and she hears a voice, an angel talking to her in the temple on what things to come. So I get more into the storyline of telling what's going on through her family and continue to add historical and biblical prophecies as the story continues. All the way to the point where I talk about the tribes of Dan. I talk about Gory Island, Shackle and Brandon, the slavery days, how it came slavery, what happened during those days. Why they were in Africa anyway? It's because the Africans were traveling all over the world. That's how they even led Christopher Columbus to the Caribbean islands, because the Africans were already here on the west coast down the south side of Florida. They were there for Fort Mosa. And a lot of the slaves would try to run away when slavery did develop. They would try to run to Fort Mosa through South Carolina. And if they were caught, their heads were cut off and hung on poles to scare anybody from wanting to go that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's a lot. You have to read. The first book is 400 pages.
So is this book out yet?
Yes, it's out now. It's on Amazon, ebook as well as the paperback. I'm moving towards the audiobook as well as the hardcover. And I'll be going into I was in the video production as well, just the first book.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a movie? Are you producing this book into a movie?
Well, I'm considering producing this story. But I'm not sure which way I want to go, if I want to do animation or I want to do with investors to bring it to television. So it depends at this point.
Well, you know, it sounds good to me. I kind of like animation. It captures the children. And, you know, I can see, you know, a correct biblical history told in an animation like that. You know, for children to be able to understand it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do believe animation would be the best for this project, and the reason why I say that is because of the effects. You know, most of the effects in movies now are animated, so it'd be best just to continue animation or do it in character created animation, where the characters are look almost human like animation mixed in with animated scenery.
Oh, yeah, so, girl. We got to find you the best animators out there for this project right here. That's what
taking me so long with that.
All you animators out there that think y'all got 101% skill, you need to hit Miss Nye up and see if you can work with her or whatever. But, definitely.
Yes, but that's just in part one of the book. In part two, I get into the Harlem Hellfighters. I get into the Red Summer, Madam C.J. Walker, Ida B. Wells Burnett. I tell you about the Harlem Renaissance, how it came to be, the National Negro League, the speakeasies and the juke joints.
Yes.
And
I had to do a paper on that in college.
Experiment. You did?
Yes, I did. The Harlem Renaissance.
Wow. Black,
so you bring
back alley
you
abortion.
Bring us, Wow, yeah, that was big, back alley abortion. Dangerous.
Yeah,
a lot
there was
of women
so many,
lost their lives.
There was so many young girls were eventually kicked out of home because mm-hmm. they became pregnant at such a young age and unmarried. That was a sin.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them, even though they were kicked out of the house, a lot of them came up missing off the streets. A lot of them were basically picked up and lynched.
Oh God. Wow. We have a lot of history. A lot of history.
Because most of our African history was stolen. It was altered to suit them who stole. And they put lies out as they brought us into this country, through Jamestown, through the slave ships. They altered everything. They even put out newspaper articles about don't talk to the black people when they come here because they like eating white people, white babies. So they try to build
I'm amazed. I'm listening to you, and I'm absolutely amazed because I often wondered where our recent leader of the free world was mentioning eating flesh, other humans eating flesh, and how he was against it. And I kept trying to figure out, where's he coming up with this? You know, and now you just said that, and it just kind of clicked into the brainwashing.
Well, a lot of times the barbarians in Africa, there were some people like that would eat people. You know, that was their rituals. If they felt they would eat someone, especially a warrior from another, you know, within the war, they fight these group of people. If they captured your king and ate his brains, that would make him more powerful. He would know what your king knew. So that's why they would do all that cannibalism. And a lot of them would sacrifice, the babies would sacrifice because they would bring spirits, healthier spirits into the person that's eating them. It was a lot. I was totally amazed by everything.
I'm amazed right now listening to you.
and just learning all this stuff and creating all these stories about, like, for instance, Elizabeth Coleman. You heard of her?
No, I have not.
She was the first black woman in the world to receive an aviation license because she couldn't get one here. She had to go across overseas to get a license to fly an airplane.
Ain't that nothing. Ain't nothing changed in today's society then, so we can see there's really
no,
been little progress.
It's still the same. And that was in the 20s.
That's why it is so important.
So we're still struggling, right.
Exactly, for us to build our own black wealth.
But the thing is, like I said at the beginning of my story, I'm going to read it. Let me go there.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, I give you like a little taste of things that's going on. And
okay.
It says that for it was foretold against the stars, amongst the stars and in the heavens, that she will stand. Her back will be broken, although she will walk. Her weaknesses will be preyed upon. Her tribulation will be insufferable. Her strength will be remarkable. She will be a warrior. She will prevail. For over 6,000 years, she will continue to struggle. Her dreams will be preserved as she embraced her nightmares. For over 6,000 years, it was foretold that the distinction of her dark skin would be degraded, disrespected, and shamed. Her beauty unmatched, though by many denied. It was foretold that her incredible journey, her ability to love under the most critical circumstances, and her spiritual essence would encourage her existence. Yes, her footsteps, her blood, and her soul are embedded deep within the earth, and yet her destiny is imminent. Africa. That's where.
Hallelujah. The girl. That right there is enough to tune in. Wow. Which, listening to that, empowers me even more as a black woman, you know, trying to leave my footprints in the sand of black history to keep striving forward, even in adversity and in trials and tribulations. Never give up, because what's in the storehouse for us is for us, and it will be for us, but you got to keep at it for it to manifest.
Exactly.
She's a great example of perseverance. Wow.
Right, exactly. And through book one, I don't have chapters in the book. I call them parts, because each part can be anywhere from 80 to 120 pages long. And I couldn't say chapters because it had been too many.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first chapter is in part on series one. It's called You Say These Things. This is when Queen Sheba goes and meets King Solomon. And she tried to ask him these perplexing questions. And he shows her things and teaches her things that she said she can take back to her, to Ethiopia, to her country, to Saudi Arabia. Okay, in part two, I call that one Daza. Daza is the little girl who get lost in the jungle and almost eaten by hyenas and a lion until this one lady, Natanji, finds her and keeps her, and she marries her son. From there, she has seven daughters with her son, Sakuk. And Sakuk, I go into part three. It's called Nakupene, which is Swahili for I love you.
Oh,
and
okay.
it tells about Natanji, Natanji finds it difficult to survive after her husband is devoured by a lion, a man-eating beast. So bewildering, she walks the dark shadows of her illusion. So everybody thinks she's going crazy because when she leaves in the middle of the night, because she had this premonition of this little girl lost in the jungle, Daza, she goes away. She's gone for 13 days in the jungle, and they don't know if she's dead or alive until she brings the child back. And that child wound up having, like I said, seven daughters. And everybody know part four of the seventh daughter. And the seventh daughter is one that's supposed to be able to foresee things, to tell the future.
Mm-hmm.
So she has seven daughters. Her seventh daughter has seven daughters. And then her seventh daughter has seven daughters. So three generations of seven daughters. And I tell you about each of the girls. There's 21 altogether. And what they do, their life skills, and how two of them come up missing during a war. And these two girls are captured by a barbarian, and all the virgins are saved for the chief. And what he does to them, how he mutilates these virgins, and some of them are pregnant, some of them are sacrificed, you know, and all these women. So I talk about these generation of daughters. And then I give you more history and more Bible prophecy. And then I go into the last part, which is Shackle and Branded, how eventually it comes over to the U.S. through the Portuguese, the French, the Dutch, the British, how they invade Africa, because Africa came out first into the world to make trade with the world. And that's when they got wind of Africa and decided to come into Africa and steal and take what they wanted and even capture the country.
I'm going to leave my comments to myself on that one, because that one, that one's deep for me. Always stealing something that you don't own. Good.
That's been going on for a long time. First, it started off nice and nice trades and everything, but people get greedy. And that's where Glory Island comes into play.
Right. In
Senegal, you know, so they started capturing people. So they found there was more to gain from human bondage than the gold and the other things they're going to take anyway. So to take it all is how they built up a lot of countries in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Europe, Spain, America, all those built on black blood, black bodies. So I talk about everything the black people were caught up in, what they were built, and just living on a plantation, you know, about this one little girl at the end of part five. Her name was Shaw. And Shaw was, she was 10 years old, playing with her dollies in the mud, her little broken leg wooden doll in the mud. And Master's son wanted her. He wanted to lay with her.
Mm.
So I talk about her turmoil through her parents, how her parents, I'm going to read this part. I hope I don't.
Some tells me they negotiate their child.
What?
Something tells me they negotiate their child. I hope not.
Right. Well, the mother was trying to stop him, you know, and stop him because she was the youngest he ever had. You know, to lay with. And he said, give her a chance to grow, give her a couple more years. But the father turns around and tells the mother, her father, who was a black, he was best friends with the taskmaster. So he was going around doing the same thing the taskmaster was doing, so far as beating the slaves and raping the women as well. So So he tells this woman that whatever master wants, master get. She belongs to master, just like you belong to master. So that kind of breaks her heart. He spits at her, knocks her to the ground, and takes the little girl away and take her to the master's, the hut where they usually spend time with the woman. They don't have, they had a place where they would take these girls. They didn't really take them into the main house all the time. It's like a back house or a house down the road from the rest of the slave quarters where they were basically raped if they weren't raped in their own homes, their own shacks, put it like that. Because little girl says, "Ma, what he want with me for? I don't do nothing bad." Sha, embracing her little girl, she tearfully explained, "Remember that day when you caught Sarah on with me, on top of me? Master Trent want to do the same thing with y'all." So she's talking slave talk, okay? "Why, Ma, I didn't do nothing. I was a good nigga. I was a good slave girl. Listen, just shut your eyes and pray. And keep your eyes shut tight until it's over. You hear me, Sha? You hear me? Ma, why? It's just
Baby
the way things are now."
Wow.
Right, she was scared because she saw her father beating her mother and raping her.
Right.
So now they know Master Trent want to do it to the little girl.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, so it's a lot of stories in there.
Like
there's a lot of stories,
ma'am.
In there.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, here's a question.
I have good stories.
You.
I have good stories as well. Some of the stories are humorous and make you laugh. You make you.
I was
know,
about
say, yes,
to ask
nice.
You that. Do you have
any
stories for kids' products or kids' shows or books that you are working on or already completed?
Not right now. I haven't did any kid products lately. The last four books are mostly adult books.
Okay.
When I say adults, I mean like 15 and up.
Right.
Young people can read. But
can comprehend
so far,
the storyline.
No.
Right.
No. Because of the storyline, because I'm mostly a realist when I write.
Right.
And I tell it discreetly, you know. It's not for younger ones, no.
Right.
I would say high school age. Yes.
Yeah. So
even
what
for
advice,
this book, Hativa.
Hativa. What advice would you give a newcomer to the industry trying to get their feet wet in either the screenplay or even a book writing type of pleasure that they have? What advice would you give a newcomer?
I would say keep your focus. Take notes of what you write. As you write a story, write down everything. And then you can put it into format. And don't tell everybody your business. Because people are out there looking for something to run with. They're going to find something to build off your project and call it their own. You know, even when I was in fashion design and when I was in the American Businesswomen show and the March of Dimes show, a lot of my things came up missing. And they were presented in other fashion shows redone by different designers. So even clothing.
I hear that a lot.
Writing, songs. Yeah. People are always looking to stay on top of things. A lot of times they can stay up. They don't have the talent. So they search out the ones with talent. So this will say keep yourself, whatever you have, to yourself until you're ready to present it. And make sure you have all your legal I's and T's dotted and crossed and everything, you know, because they will come for it.
Right.
And copyright, make sure you have your copyright. Exactly.
Now, how does one go about copywriting for a newbie? Most newbies think that if they mail their book to themselves, then it's going through the mail.
No.
Yeah.
Well, legally, that's nothing. It don't mean one thing. You have no rights if you do that. I'm told by a lawyer you can mail as many copies if you want to yourself, but if you don't have that legal number, that government number on your project, send it to the LLC. You're losing. You lost it.
So what about the Writers Guild?
The Writers Guild is mostly for when you're sending your work out to have it reviewed by producers and televisions. And a lot of times it's best to join a Writers Guild club, you know, their organization. Because they're trying to protect you. Right. Because if you just send it out there, like I'm saying, you send it out there for it to be simulated.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do it.
Yeah.
Make sure you sign up to the organization, pay the fee. Sometimes the fee, I think it's higher now. I'm pretty sure it is. But have all your stuff documented. Because
right.
your fight is easier. And people will think twice before they, you know, try to steal it or copy
right,
it or
right.
simulate it, whatever.
Right,
you
right.
know? So just be
that
careful.
That makes a lot of sense. So each
you
writer
you
in
can't
each
trust.
State, you surely can't. Not in this business. Not in the music industry, the movie industry.
Not
you
any
surely
business.
Can't.
No. No. Not in the fashion industry. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
I have
nobody.
Worked in
if
the
you
fashion
come up with
industry.
Yes. Yes, if you come up with something, make sure you present it properly. And it takes
right.
time. A lot of times you may say, I got a copyright. It takes about 6 months for your copyright to come back. Of course, if you mail it in, do online registration. It's faster and it's almost automatic until you get your paperwork. Once you get that number on the online registration, you're there. A lot of times they will contact you within 30 days. And let you know if your stuff is, if it has some type of problem or something's wrong with your paperwork, they'll
mm-hmm.
let you know. But you still got that copyright number that they gave you, so you're still
right.
protected until you get back with them. Right. Yes.
Right. So you would, so the newbie would look for the Writer Guild in their state. Like
well,
Atlanta, we have the Writers Guild of Atlanta. So I'm imagining
right.
it would be, you know.
I just joined the Writers Guild of, I think I applied for the Writers Guild and the main one.
Okay,
I think in California.
Because
okay. I figured most of all the writers would come through there anyway.
Right.
So I did fill out the paperwork and I submitted the first book. This book I did not submit to the Writers Guild because I have not decided on having my work, you know.
Girl, hold on
right
to
now.
That little puppy. Hold on to that gold right
you know,
there.
Because so many... Because it's been close before twice.
Right.
People trying to copy it,
mm-hmm.
and but you don't see it out there because I have all my numbers.
Right.
But they can only do so much to it, you know. So yeah, copy it. You know, copyright everything.
You hear that, newbies?
Copyright
your stuff. Copyright
everything.
Do not share it. Don't be talking
no,
about it.
No, do
to
not
everybody.
Share it. Keep it to yourself. Keep your mouth closed until you finish.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go around showing your little notes or your ideas, sharing them with people because they do steal. I mean,
mm-hmm.
people are so desperate nowadays to be famous, so they can easily take your stuff and add it to theirs and say it was theirs because they copyrighted your stuff before you copyrighted it. And legally,
mm-hmm.
it's theirs. And,
mm-hmm.
and do not share your writings with another person. If you want sole ownership of your work, then you keep it to yourself. As soon as someone put, maybe change the title or give you a subtitle, they become 50% ownership.
What?
Just from a few words, yes. Because they can say, I help you with this. And you don't know if they're going to tell the truth in court
mm-hmm.
or what. So
mm-hmm.
it's best to keep everything in your head, on your paper, in front of you
mm-hmm.
and copyright it yourself. If it's a two-person, then it's only fair that you both do
right.
it together.
Right.
But you got to remember, 50% theirs is 50% yours.
And one little nugget I might want to add to that for all you newbies, because I have done it 3 times, lost my
What's
work
that?
On my computer because of a power
no.
outage or a computer
no.
glitch. I lost my book 3 times. So now...
Let me tell you what to do. Whenever, because I thought I lost my work too, I have a hard drive,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I put everything onto my external hard drive. Everything, and I save every so often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I continue to save each with, you know, so when things black out or my computer is not responding
mm-hmm.
and it loses stuff, it's only up to a certain point, maybe a page or so. And
right.
I can rethink that and put that in there. But
right.
so far, it's going through the whole book. No way. It's
I
always
agree.
On my external hard drive and on my computer. And I might have a USB drive too. So I have different drives.
Yes, I was going to say that.
You know,
I have learned my lesson to the point where I have
one or
three
two.
Of them.
No.
I got
to have a backup on a backup system. Exactly.
Backup
of a
backup.
It's a lot of work, and you don't want to lose it.
And it's your blood.
You don't
want
to lose
it
to people.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Miss, I agree wholeheartedly. Now, for all those that are listening, how can the general public find you, Miss Naya? How can can you share your website and your contact info?
I have a Facebook. You can contact me as well. I'm Naya Terry on Facebook, and I also have a website. You can also email me through my website. And my email through my website, well, just go to the website. It's Enterprise, NDT, my initials, Naya Delon Terry. Enterprise spelled with a Z, ENTERPRIZE, NDT. But just put in Enterprise, NDT, or put in Naya Terry, and Google me, and I'll pop up.
And your website is EnterpriseNDT.com?
-NDT.
Dash
com,
NDT.
Yes.
Okay. So that's ENTERPRIZE-NDT?
Yes.
.com.
Yes.
Look, Miss Naya Terry up, and let's support this Black-owned business any way that we can. And let's help her get this, her projects going and birth. And Miss Naya, I want to thank you for being on this radio show. It's been a pleasure to have you in the treasure room, and we wish you well in all your endeavors. And I look so forward to.
Thank you very
to...
much, and I appreciate having me.
You are
but,
very welcome.
But once
welcome.
You get the book. If not, keep the book for your family members or whatever. So much history in these books, you'll be surprised and how everything comes together from the Bible to history to the future, as it leads you to Armageddon, the last days.
And that's we can find this book on Amazon.
On Amazon.
And the correct spelling?
Series 1 is on Amazon. Hatibah,
okay.
H-A-T-I-B-A-H. The Inevitable. Series 1. That's the only one I released right now. The other two are coming very soon. The Hope 3, Hatibah 3, and Hatibah 2 and 3.
I look forward to it. I'm going to go and order the book right now because I wasn't sure if it was on there or not, and I said, I'm going to just wait and ask her myself. But I'd really like to get started and say that I really, see, even though I write, my eyes get really tired reading, so I'm going to look forward to your audio book, and I'm definitely going to look forward to the movie.
Yes, I decided to do the audio book right after I released Series 3, and I want to make it as real as a motion picture.
Right.
That's how I'm going to do my audio. So you'll be able to hear sounds effects and music and the whole storyline being played out as a movie.
That's why we need those top engineers. We need those top cartoonists. We need those top people.
For the animated product.
Yes. You want to get your name out there on top of a good project that's going to make its way all the way to Hollywood, Bollywood, whichever wood it is.
Yes. Yes, I have an offer to have it aired on a television station once I get it together. They want to...
Hallelujah. See that, girl?
Yes, so
what's for you is
so
for you.
So I'm excited about that as well. Pardon me?
Ma'am. I said, what is for you is for you. And your stuff will manifest. And I hope that when it does get on the TV, when it does, you know, reach that platform, you'll come back and join us again and let us know so we can definitely blow that baby with all kinds of sponsorship. Get the word out.
Yes,
I can't wait.
Yes. So right now I'm picky about the people I bring into this project.
No
doubt. I got to feel that you're trustworthy and that we can work together perfectly. Yes, I'm picky and I'm finicky. It got to be right.
Exactly. So for all of those that may have expertise for you, you want them to shoot you an email? You want to shout out that email for them one more time?
My email is Okay. The email is ENTERPZ, the number 6, at yahoo.com or at gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
Either or.
Oh, yes, both of
either
them.
Either or. I have two.
Okay.
I have
okay.
two for the same site, just in case one is overpowered. another
right,
one.
Right.
And yes, you can get, or you can go straight to the website, enterprise-ndt.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can email me through there.
Well, we will be looking
and
out
there
for
you,
your
there
project.
You can see a lot of my work as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually gone and visited the page and you know, right before I talked to you, and I was so engulfed in your webpage that it's like, oh my God, like a million questions were going through my head to ask you about this, but my questions would probably open it up too much. So that's why I said, no, let Miss Terry tell the story, because I probably would go from beginning to end wanting to know everything. And
well, yeah. Which is under,
yeah.
which is great. It's nothing wrong with it. Knowledge is power. Which,
knowledge
you know,
is power.
I'll answer if possible.
Well, thank you. So how long have you been working on this project?
This project, with the research through the historical timeline and biblical timeline, it took me 18 years. That's why, you know, because it really would have been 5 books. But it was, I figured that was too much, and I had to condense.
Mm-hmm.
I had to chop it down. I had to take some stuff. I had to cut the storyline down on a lot of things. Because once I start writing, I never get writer's block. Never.
I
That's
do.
Never been one of my problems.
I need to juice your drinking. Because
I
get a block so bad.
I'm
reading a bulldozer.
Pardon me?
Wow. I said, I get writer's block so bad, I need a bulldozer to get it down. So
you know
I,
what
I,
it is?
Well,
to me, I would say, listening to people I talk to that say they have experienced writer's block. To me, writer's block is just a way of not knowing which way you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So go, if you have 3 ways, go all 3 ways. Write about all 3 ways. Because the one that leads you to the next part is the way you're supposed to go.
Right. Good advice.
You never have writer's block. You'll never get writer's block that way.
Drink that Kool-Aid, y'all, because I'm taking a sip right now. Just keep writing. Do not edit and write. Just keep writing.
No. Just start, because I might have in my journals, I do keep notes in my journals as well, because that's where I develop my characters in my journals.
Mm-hmm.
And I write about each person, how they're supposed to act, how tall, how fat, how skinny, how big, or how if their voices, if they're quiet, if they're shy, whatever, if they're crazy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I write about each character in my journal. And then once I use that character, I put a line through it. They know that I use that personality already. So they don't clash with another personality down the street.
Gotcha. Kind of like a storyboard,
right,
but a character board.
Exactly. Even with names. In my name, on my Excel, I got about 3,000 names. And each name that I, you know, if I think of a name, if I hear it and I haven't heard, I add it to my Excel, all in alphabetical order, male, female, last name, Indian names, African names, whatever names, I have them all in alphabetical order and listed under that label. So I know if I use that name, I'll put, like if I use it for Hativa 1, I put H1 next to the name or behind the name, so they can keep them in alphabetical order. So I won't lose that. So I won't use that name again.
Right.
I don't like using the same name again. Well, I thought she died. How'd she come back?
Right.
You know,
right. It ain't
so
the
they're all different. Right.
Wow. Yeah. You just taught me something.
I mean. Right, so always keep everything organized so you can find things easier. You know, even in my journals, I have journal 1, journal 2, and as I complete a journal and put enough lines, I usually use 1 line through that section. Don't scribble. Don't.
You
do
never
that.
Know when you need it again.
Because a lot of times you don't use the whole sentence or the whole paragraph of that character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might
want
to add it in later, so you go back and look it up, and you add that to another part of the story. So you'll never get writer's block.
Gotcha. I'm drinking that Kool-Aid. Yes, I am. I got 2 months to go. Yes, I'm going to drink that Kool-Aid, and we're going to see this
let me add this. A lot of my stories, I write songs to the characters. Like there's one song when Nima, when Blake Aloysius Brown dies in her arm for being shot by an assassin's bullet. He was a black man. He was out, hunting with his friend Chin, who's a Chinese man. And both of them were shot. But Blake dies. But he dies in the arms of his woman, Nima. So she sings this song, One Last Moment, to love you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hear that on the website, too.
Oh, God, that makes me want to cry. One Last Moment.
I know it's a sad song, but it's a love song. And when he dies, since they weren't legally married, she takes his last name. So a lot of times last names, even though we're supposed to get last names from our master, because we're coming, we didn't have names. So when they started documenting us legally, we had to have a last name. So the masters gave us his last name. Because instead of calling us boy, nigga boy, nigga girl, he gave us a name and his last name for the census, because the census wanted to know how many people with their last name. So a lot of times after the Civil War and looking for the 40 acres and the mule, we had to use last name. And a lot of them couldn't spell. But a lot of last names got twisted up and misspelled. And a lot of times we are connected to people that we don't even know that our cousins or great aunts or whatever, because they spelled their name differently.
I find that a lot.
Yeah. So
when you really think about it, anyway, we all from the same Creator. All our blood is red.
Yes.
So you know, we just got different
pews
to the outer shell of our spirits.
Acts 17:26. From one man, all men were created.
Amen.
That means we're all related. White, black, green, yellow, purple, we're all the same.
Amen.
But thanks to Satan and his demons out to destroy the world and mankind, we have this confusion, this discrimination between us.
That's his job. Seek, kill, and destroy.
That's his job.
Confuse,
this one man once told me, he said, look at the flowers. Look at the grass. You see so many weeds and so many flowers and stuff growing there, but you don't see none of them fighting each other.
They
all go together in harmony.
Yeah, that is deep.
So that's how man should be. Yeah, we should be in harmony.
Except for that little thing called greed. that little thing called greed just keeps all the harmony out.
Like with weeds could be greedy because they can take over the grass and everything. So, yes.
What's true that? You get there that crab grass.
Yes. Survival of the fittest, right.
Right. I am definitely going to definitely order this book just as soon as we, say our goodbyes. I'm going right to Amazon and I'm looking for Hativa.
Yeah, you put the I first, Hativa. But that's okay.
Right.
That's okay. You're going to find some different languages, not that many. I try not to put too many different languages in the book because I have friends that are from different parts of the world.
Okay.
And I would ask them for a different way of saying things and spelling it, so they would assist me with the foreign languages.
Okay.
And that's why I would translate them in English, yes. And I can do it on my computer, but it sounds better come from modern day to ancient times.
Right.
It depends on how you want to say it.
That brings me back around to this question. One more time in Swahili, how do you say I love you?
Nakupene.
Nakupene.
Pende.
Pende. Okay.
Pende.
Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome and thank Ms. Naya Terry of Enterprise NDT to the Treasure Box. Let's all go on and look for that book on Amazon. And Ms. Nakupende.
Naya Terry. if anybody have any questions, I'm open for a couple minutes if it's possible.
That is that if we do have any callers, call in right now, and we can ask Ms. Naya Terry anything that you may have that you you know, you might want to ask her a question about. The number that you need to call into is 845-277-9412. We'll be waiting for your questions.
And thank you.
You are very welcome,
thank you,
Ms.
Everybody.
Terry. Well, I'm just going to wait here and see if we get some more callers in. So far, it looks like the traffic is going kind of slow on the radio today. What time is it? It's 8 o'clock.
Eight o'clock,
which means people are still on the road trying to, they ain't even turned the radio on yet, probably. But we do have listeners out there because...
A lot of times people may be shy because they don't know how to relate to this history, this information. A lot of times they might want to go out and look and see for themselves, and I do encourage that. Because the Bible says, seek and you shall find.
Seek,
so
yes.
So just do what you have to do and get the information you need and see for yourself and then relate it back to your children. Because we need to know, because I believe... You never know where you're going if you don't know where you're coming from, Malcolm.
If you don't,
so we gotta be able to have knowledge to continue our journey.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run in circles.
You can, but you don't go anywhere.
No, that's what I'm saying. You got
right.
The same spot, just wearing a hole in the ground.
Well,
I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's it. We're down to our
you.
Last few minutes. And I can't thank you enough for expounding on your business with us here in the Treasure Box. And it was our pleasure. Thank you very much for showing up. I appreciate it.
And thank you for having me. And you have a nice evening.
You also nice. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Bye.